Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Crypto News Podcast. We are buzzing, as always, still coming in hot from Mexico. It's your host, Matt Zahab, and I'm super pumped to have the second guest from the Definity Foundation on the show today. Today, we have Dominic Williams, the founder and chief scientist of Definity Foundation, a major contributor to the internet computer ICP blockchain. Dominic is a crypto theoretician and entrepreneur who has been involved in the blockchain space since 2013, a true veteran, folks. Prior to which, he was an engineering entrepreneur that created multiple internet technologies and products. He specializes in distributed computing and crypto network theory, having proposed multiple innovations in use today. Super pumped to have you on the show today. Dom, welcome to the show, my friend. How you doing?
Thank you for having me. I'm super glad to be here.
Pumped to have you on, mate. We got to start with this like Star Trek 2050-esque studio that you guys built.
Yeah.
Folks, as always, I will include this in the show notes. This looks like the friggin' main newsroom at BNN or CNBC, Fox News, CNN, whatever you want to call it. This is about as all world as it gets. It is absolutely bonkers. Dom, what was the purpose of this build out? And like, what was the inspo behind this? This literally looks like a newsroom out of Star Trek. I friggin' love it.
So, you know, it's in the basement of our Zurich HQ. And the reason, you know, we've had various studios before and they never quite worked. And what we're seeing in Web3 is that, you know, people have got short attention spans and there's so much noise. And you can put out like, you know, long form content. Like recently I just made this post, Red Pill, Blue Pill, The Hidden History of the Internet Computer and Why It'll Win. I guess it's probably more than 20,000 words. The reality is that, you know, there's a small number of people that, you know, want to digest that much information. So the decision was made that we need to, you know, communicate in a more digestible, relatable way because, you know, the Definity Foundation is a very technical organization and that we're going to create these like short form videos, maybe one or two a week and push them out on crypto Twitter. So this is the start of it. This is the first podcast we've used this studio for.
Dom, just like you said, the Definity Foundation is a very tentacle-esque organization, just so many different, you know, pockets of the crypto sphere. One of the things I'd love to jump into right away is AI. You've been very vocal about this on Twitter. You've had some really spicy takes as well. Everyone just wants to like, you know, throw an LLM into their product or make a chatbot or maybe throw an agent in and call it AI, but you have a very unique viewpoint. And I absolutely love this. Let's jump right into it. Why should AI projects be decentralized and sort of segue that into everything that Definity and ICP is doing in the AI space today?
You're right. There's everyone in crypto is talking about AI. There's the blockchain for AI, the token for AI, ChatGPT integration that you can use to put chat into your Web3 service. You know, we think all that's great, but we think in more fundamental terms. So, you know, the mission of Definity is to reinvent compute on blockchain. And that means we see blockchain as it is today on the internet computer, hosting social networks and order book exchanges and things like that. And the internet computer is capable of acting like a kind of crypto cloud where you can build anything with smart contracts. And that's why if you go to the internet computer dashboard, you'll see that it's processing about 350,000 Ethereum equivalent transactions a second today.
Wild.
And that just reflects the amount of, you know, virtual machine compute going on the internet computer. And the internet computer hosts everything, right? It, you know, smart contracts on the internet computer can process HTTP. So smart contracts are directly serving user experiences in end users' browsers. And they're able to store, you know, by comparison with traditional blockchains, you know, massive amounts of data and perform massive amounts of processing. So within the internet computer network, some smart contracts now have a 400 gigabyte memory page limit. So the internet computer, you know, smart contracts on the internet computer are a bundle of WebAssembly bytecode and persistent memory pages. And they run in parallel. And some of these smart contracts are now packing, you know, up to 400 gigabytes of persistent memory. So that provides enough memory and there's already enough compute power to run AI. And we think the future of AI very generally, or the long tail of AI, you know, where people run their own models, is probably one where AI runs smart contracts on blockchains. And today, that's already possible on the internet computer.
It is truly, truly wild. I'd love if you could jump into sort of the importance of decentralizing AI as a whole. Of course, we're going to jump back into, you know, to ICP and Definity, but you have these, everyone's obviously most familiar with OpenAI, you have NVIDIA, you have all the big boys in sort of Web2. On the Fortune 500, I mean, these companies are just eating up a stupendous amount of market share, dominating the sort of the Big Ten, I guess the whole S&P for that matter. It can be pretty scary. I feel like we could be entering right into spooky town if, you know, if someone like Sam Altman and the OpenAI crew decides to release some type of AGI model and it's truly not decentralized and one group of lads and lasses has control of everything. And this is where crypto comes in handy. This is where blockchain comes in handy, where, you know, there's a public model of verification for on the transaction side of things. You can obviously use whatever, you know, crypto or blockchain you wish. And it sort of gives power back to the people. You know, this is sort of crypto's whole ethos from just a finance and unbanking yourself perspective. But I'd love if you could get into the importance of actually decentralizing AI and how we can use crypto and blockchain to actually make that happen.
Yeah, I think, you know, I share your concern that, you know, operations like OpenAI are really centralization on steroids. The good news is that the good news is though that while these, like, you know, fundamental large language models backed with huge amounts of money, you know, do grab a lot of attention. In the future, we're going to see millions of individual AI models running, and they'll be dedicated to specific tasks. I mean, if you look at a service like TikTok or Instagram, in actual fact, when you're consuming content, you're really sort of talking or interacting with an AI. The AI is, you know, or the information about how long you look at a particular video and what you like and so on and so forth, is being fed back to an AI that's then recommending more content for you. And that's what makes it so sticky. So those kind of content recommendation neural networks, for example, will be very prevalent in the Web3 field. You'll have standalone large language models that coordinate organizations. So something I described recently was this idea of an AI called Delphi that some company runs, a technical company runs, and Delphi, you know, is connected to the company's calendar system, is connected to GitHub, Jira, Slack, email, and so on and so forth. And it enables, it acts as a kind of glue that holds the company together. So for example, I could say, hey, Delphi, tell me if our CTO, Jan Kamenich, is available this afternoon. Oh, great. Could you make a calendar entry for me? I could ask, who's running some team? Is anybody on that team reporting blockers? How's progress? Or I could ask, has anybody got any, you know, bright new ideas inside the organization? Or has anybody got ideas about, new information that would be suitable for sharing on social media? And now, here's the problem. First of all, this AI model is going to have access to all of this organization's most sensitive data. And it's going to become the number one target for hackers. And if hackers manage to compromise the infrastructure Delphi runs on, it's like a honeypot for them. They can now access all of the company's most confidential information because the AI is like, you know, a nexus for this information. So that's the first problem. It's very important that these AIs like Delphi don't get hacked. It's also important that, you know, users interact, you know, within the organization, interact with these AIs with strong blockchain-based authentication. Because imagine there was, a malicious actor inside the company and they impersonated other people and started feeding in, you know, incorrect information into the model. Well, the problem is the AI wouldn't know that information is incorrect and would incorporate it into its context. And by the time it's realized bad information is being fed in, you know, effectively the AI may have become corrupted. Imagine also that the AI, this Delphi, is running on traditional infrastructure. And, you know, something goes wrong, hard drive breaks or machine crashes or whatever it is, Delphi goes offline. You know, by the nature of its functionality, the organization will have come to completely depend on the functionality that Delphi provides. And it'll be incredibly disruptive if the AI goes down. So for all these kinds of reasons, it's going to be very important that AI is tamper-proof. You get that from smart contracts.
Yep.
AI is accessed via strong authentication. You get that from blockchain or something like internet identity on the internet computer. And that the AI is unstoppable. So when you think about it, you know, AI and blockchain fit together perfectly. Blockchain is the only way of creating a tamper-proof, unstoppable compute platform. And what we've done at Affinity is, you know, worked on technology that's made it possible for the internet computer blockchain to run computation at scale. So, you know, today it's hosting many orders of magnitude more data and computation than traditional blockchains. And that's why it's able to run AI as smart contracts.
I love that. I mean, speaking of smart contracts, we might as well jump into sort of AI-based DeFi and decentralized applications, dApps. You had a great tweet a couple of days ago, Dom, and you were just like, the power of AI smart contracts. Imagine if your OISE, which is a 100% on-chain, you know, wallet with AI inside, could instruct, you know, anything you wanted, swap 1 inch for UNI immediately. Boom, it does it. If Wrapped BTC reaches X amount of dollars, then swap for Tether or Circle. Boom, it does it. Like, besides using a centralized exchange, and centralized exchange is still realistically, along with a couple of dApps, have the cleanest quick swap trading applications where it's literally just like input currency X, output currency Y, click, boom, no bullshit. You don't need to worry about slippage or tolerance or fees or anything like that. It just does it. Imagine literally just writing that, or the next level, speaking that into your phone like Siri, and boom, the transaction's done. I mean, that's all world. That will onboard the masses. That will get Web 2 into Web 3.
Totally. And look, there's two dimensions to this. One is just usability. Imagine you're at a crypto conference and you've just spoken to, you know, the people involved in some project, and you realize, you think, this is going to be big. Wouldn't it be great just to get out your phone and you know, verbally provide instructions to an AI crypto wallet that will then carry them out for you? But so on the one hand, you have this convenience thing. On the other hand, the system can make it possible for normal people to create much more complex actions. So, you know, a simple example would be, hey, look, you know, if Wrapped Bitcoin on Ethereum reaches 100K, then, you know, sell 5 Wrapped Bitcoin for USDC. And only do this if the slippage is less than whatever, right? So you speak the instructions in, and the AI model will read back to you, or, you know, show you on the screen some kind of pseudocode, but not, you know, complex pseudocode that a layperson can understand.
Yeah.
And if they then press confirm, that instruction will sit there inside the AI smart contract wallet or the component. The AI really just creates that pseudocode. And then once you've confirmed it, it becomes an instruction within the smart contract wallet. On the internet computer, smart contracts can be invoked on a heartbeat. So, you know, they can be periodically woken up, and they can, you know, check a price oracle or something like that, and behave, you know, according to instructions that have been previously made. So it will give people a way of, you know, firstly, buying and selling crypto and making trades and so on incredibly conveniently. And on the other hand, it'll also help lay people create complex DeFi actions based on conditions and things like that. Whereas on the one hand, you can, you know, it's very easy to create a simple swap interface. But, you know, things start getting complex if you really have to enable people to create almost arbitrary instructions. And that's where AI can come in. You can just tell it what you want. It'll display a concise pseudocode that's, you know, readable to the layman. And if they like it, they press confirm and boom, it's done.
That's all world. I can't wait for this to happen. How long? I hate being the guy who asks for timelines, but like, what's good here?
So I think, look, it's not finalized yet, but I think the first demo I'm going to give of AI will be image classification. So you can upload a photograph and it'll tell you what it is, which is already very, very cool. If you think that that's been done by a smart contract, we're then going to progress probably through a series of steps towards a large language model demo. We're also working with some partners who are AI experts, and they've got various plans, various things they want to run on the internet computer. I mean, ideas like you can have a smart contract on the internet computer that browses through the smart contracts on Ethereum, and you know, you can match the code hash to GitHub, and then you can the smart contract can verify that there are no sort of re-entrancy attacks possible and things like that. And like, you know, kite mark. That's funny. Kite mark the Ethereum smart contracts. So there's a lot of ideas like that. I mean, also when you can do things like face recognition, which is actually kind of a similar task to image classification, things like, you know, fully autonomous KYC are possible. So users can connect to the smart contract via video link and hold up, you know, driving license in the smart contract and decide whether the photo on the driving license matches the person who it's interacting with.
So cool. I love that. Dom, you're on a roll, mate. Got to take a quick break and give a huge shout out to our sponsor of the show. And when we get back, we're going to talk about AI models hosted on the blockchain, multi-chain, DeFi, a little bit of decentralized cloud computing, and maybe a couple teasers as well. Until then, huge shout out to Prime XBT, longtime friends and sponsors of the CryptoNews.com podcast. We love these guys. They offer a robust trading system for both beginners and professional traders. It doesn't matter if you're a rookie or a vet. You can easily design and customize your layouts and widgets to best fit your trading style and take advantage of Prime XBT's highly reliable market data and performance. The promo code is CryptoNews50. They are giving a sweet promo code, which is CryptoNews50, to receive 50% of your deposit credited to your trading account. Again, that is CryptoNews50, all in order to receive 50% of your deposit credited to your trading account. Now back to the show with Dom. Let's jump right into hosting AI models on the blockchain. This is something that tickles my fancy a little bit here, Dom. I am an absolute sieve when it comes to anything coding related, with the exception of maybe a quick little, you know, control F12 to pop up the, you know, the sort of the HTML thing in my browser a couple times when I've had to help a team launch something. That's about the furthest I can go when it comes to coding. I actually hosted my own, you know, my own LLM on my computer. It was pretty cool. I mean, I watched a couple of YouTube videos. But again, you know, I had to set it up with a external hard drive. I was like, what am I doing? We're still a little out of my pay grade. Hosting AI models on the blockchain is incredibly cool. It aims to address the lack of transparency. And again, when you host AI models on ICP and are ran with the smart contracts, it makes the training just that much easier. I'd love if you could get into why hosting AI models on the blockchain is so efficient and why it is definitely the future of AI hosting.
Well, I was, you know, the DGens out there will you know, love to imagine things like, you know, AI models being traded as NFTs, and all of that will be possible. But it's you know, so also cool. Case, yeah, and it will be very cool, right? And it's also the case, though, that you know that just running AI smart contracts provides, you know, these incredible advantages with respect to things like security, being unstoppable, and so on. And by the way, you mentioned earlier, you know, the possibility of like an AGI sort of becoming malevolent and doing terrible things to society. If you run AI as a smart contract, you can run it under the control of a DAO. And so that greatly limits its scope for causing mischief. Now, running AI as a smart contract isn't more efficient than running it on a standalone server because there's a certain amount of replication involved. So on the internet computer, you can pretty much choose the level of replication. On a standard system subnet, it's doing like 13x replication. It's very smart replication. It's replicating, compute across node machines that are owned by independent people that are run and installed in independent data centers, where the data centers are in different geographies and different jurisdictions. That's called deterministic decentralization. In the future, there may be lower trust AI subnets, which only have like 4x replication, which still gives very impressive security and resilience. So if you want the absolute most efficient AI, you know, you'd run it on a dedicated AI cloud. It's certainly a good idea to train AI initially, at least at the moment, off-chain, because that's the most expensive and compute-intensive bit, and use the blockchain, use AI running smart contracts to do inference. But that's okay, you know. If you take a large language model like Llama or Mistral, it's already been trained at great expense, right? So, you know, that model has a large number of parameters, like weight, neuron weights, and you can build on top of that. You're not training the large language model from scratch. And with an application like Delphi that we talked about before, in actual fact, the large language model is, you know, slurping all this company data, like, you know, calendar and email and Slack and Jira and GitHub, into its context, which is then being updated within the smart contract. But the actual weights are staying the same. I'm not getting too technical. So, you know, inference is actually pretty efficient. And again, I don't want to get too technical, but you can actually go higher if you want with replication and scale out its ability to provide inference that doesn't need to update the context, for example. So, you know, the difference is, like, if you said to Delphi, oh, I've got this great idea that, you know, the company could do, or, you know, I've got this blocker, that would actually update the context. But if I just said to Delphi, hey, who's running this team? Has anybody on that team reported a blocker? That's something that, you know, doesn't have to go through consensus. It can be done in a slightly different way. And the higher the level of replication, the more of those kind of queries you can do. So the current limitations on the internet computer are the amount of main memory that a smart contract has. So currently, each smart contract has 4 gigabytes of main memory. That's because we're running 32-bit WASM. And that limits the number of parameters, weights, that you can get into memory, and you need them in memory. So that's a current bottleneck. And, you know, I'm really excited about this. I'm pleased to say that we're moving to 64-bit WASM soon, which completely removes that restriction. And we'll probably increase the maximum amount of main memory to 32 gigabytes or something like that. And that will make it possible to run these large language models. Also, currently in the demos people will see me give soon, you know, image classification, face recognition, that kind of thing, you know, can take like 10 seconds.
That's wild.
Yeah, that's
absolutely kind of wild.
But it works, right? And that's the impressive thing. This is like, you know, we've just started down this path. And, you know, people who've watched Affinity over the years know that things are going to get better and better and better. So already now we've got in our work pipeline something called SIMD instructions. So it took us a while to determine these things were deterministic. So SIMD instructions will be put into the smart contract execution environment. That will massively speed up these AI smart contracts. And we've got a whole lot of other things in the works too.
Dom, there's a couple more areas that we definitely need to touch on, because you guys are moving and grooving on so many cool things. But just and there's no way I'm going to put myself anywhere close to your category. We are in a much different arena, you and I. But as a builder, like, how do you decide which baskets to put your eggs into, especially with such a technology like AI and decentralization? And again, like you said, with all the tentacles that, you know, that ICP and Affinity has, like, how the heck do you and the team decide, hey, we're gonna put X amount of effort into this, X percentage into this? Like, that must be so tough, because there's just so many different areas that can really move the needle right now. Like, what's the sauce there? What's the workflow look like?
Well, I think there are two main areas that we're focusing on that are kind of new. One is helping optimize the internet computer to run AI. So, you know, we can run larger and larger models and more efficiently. And the other one is this thing called Utopia, which will enable the enterprise sector, enterprises, governments, NGOs, and so on, to run like private internet computers that can integrate with the public internet computer and with each other. And I think that reflects actually, you know, the power of this technology. You know, people who will use this Utopia technology to create these private clouds will just be focused on the fact that online systems and services are tamper-proof and they're unstoppable, and they're writing serverless code, which of course is, you know, canister smart contract code. And they won't, you know, ever think about meme coins and NFTs and all the stuff that we do in the blockchain space. They'll just be going, this is absolutely incredible, game-changing technology that reinvents compute, so I don't need cybersecurity anymore, and so on. So both of these things, AI and Utopia, will add a lot of value to the public internet computer network, in my opinion. So those are key areas. But, you know, all the time behind the scenes, there are lots of people working to optimize the internet computer. I think it's fair to say This is something which we're trying to correct. The Internet Computer Project isn't the best at marketing itself. It tends to be too tech-focused. on other blockchains, you get these like really like trivial features, and they're sort of like wrapped up in this big release with a fancy name, and then it's marketed to hell. You know, those kind of features are typically being pushed into the internet, or advances are being pushed into the Internet Computer very, very regularly, and there's no fanfare at all. And that's really our fault, and there's something we're aiming to fix. A great example of this is something called deterministic time slicing. It's a huge achievement. So the Internet Computer actually can run smart contract computations that span multiple blocks. And essentially what it does is it has like four logical processes, which are actually real processes on these node machines. And, you know, it puts a smart contract onto the processor, lets it consume a certain number of cycles, Internet Computer equivalent of gas, and then takes it off the processor and puts another smart contract on. And the computations, you know, these smart contract functions that are being evoked, which transactions essentially, can be executed over multiple blocks. And so you can actually do a huge amount of computation in a single smart contract transaction. And this is a huge advance because it essentially means that the Internet Computer is a genuine decentralized operating system. So if you think about operating systems, that's the software that makes hardware, computing hardware, usable. So, you know, you've got Android in the Google universe. You've got iOS in the Apple universe for phones. You've got like, you know, OS X on MacBooks. You've got Windows on Windows laptops and so on. You've got Linux on backend servers. And, you know, these operating systems run on a single computer. The ICP stack, you know, works as a kind of operating system that runs across multiple compute units. And despite that, it's still doing the same kind of things that, you know, the operating system, you know, multitasking things that, you know, traditional operating system does. So, I mean, you know, these things are so much more further in advance than what people are used to on blockchain. It can be very difficult. Oftentimes people say to me, like, you know, I say to them, look, Internet Computers, blockchain is cloud, right? Yeah. You know, the blockchain is now a serverless cloud where you create online systems and services using smart contract software. And they'll say things like, well, you know, isn't leading blockchain X and Y already a decentralized cloud? Isn't that what everyone's doing? And, you know, I say to him, well, look, no, not quite, because, like, you know, the Internet Computers are running like social networks today and, you know, order book exchanges and things like that. And actually on these traditional blockchains, you can't even store a phone photo, right? And people get confused because they see NFTs and, well, of course there's photos on the... No, those photos are actually stored on Amazon Web Services or some decentralized service that's backed by Amazon Web Services. You know, the blockchains are just storing, you know, very tiny amounts of data and performing very tiny amounts of compute. You know, their capacity for compute is far less than a Raspberry Pi. You know, one of those little kind of like circuit board thing things kids run, right? Run Linux on to learn how to program. But when you think about the world today, I think every year there are 10 million powerful server machines shipping. 10 million new ones shipping every year. And I forget the exact numbers, but I think it's like 50 zettabytes of data being processed and stored every year. I mean, the difference between where blockchain is today and where it has to go to become a crypto cloud is a long one. Today, you know, you've only got, you know, three lanes in blockchain. You know, the first lane is Bitcoin. Was created by Bitcoin. And then you had, you know, Litecoin is one of the competitors that survived, you know, silver's Bitcoin's gold. And then there's all the, you know, the dead ones like Feathercoin. So the first lane's, you know, cryptocurrency, you know, blockchains that are dedicated to hosting a ledger. The second lane is for blockchains that host smart contracts. And the first obviously was Ethereum really. And then, you know, there are, you know, a ton of competitors. Thousands biting at its heels today. And then there's a third lane, which is, you know, true world computer blockchain that is designed to, you know, run things like social networks and order book exchanges and everything else, and obviously including AI, right? And that's where we are. And I think because we're the only one in lane three currently, it's very difficult to communicate that. People always assume that the Internet Computer's in lane two and we're, you know, one of these traditional blockchains hosting smart contracts that, you know, have less, host less compute capacity than a Raspberry Pi. Whereas in fact, the Internet Computer is just hosting a vast amount of computation and data today.
So cool. Dom, I wish we had more time here, mate. I know we got to wrap up soon. I'm just going to, we got to have you on for round two because we barely scratched the surface. I know there's so many, but any super cool releases, events, tidbits of news that you guys are releasing in the next couple of weeks that we can, you know, maybe tickle some people's fancy in the meantime? Give us a couple of gold nuggets and then we'll wrap up here, mate.
So, depending on when this is released, I think, you'll start seeing the videos, credit using the same studio.
Yeah.
Really, you've got the honor of being the first podcast to be recorded here. Following this, there's going to be a whole lot of videos recorded here. The first one is going to demonstrate AI running on the blockchain and kind of world first, but it'll be followed with lots more AI demos. So, we're going to be creating these demos, sharing the GitHub repos so that, engineers who are interested can go and try it out for themselves. But we're also, going to be progressively improving the performance of AI. And as we, extend and improve the execution environment, making more memory available to canister smart contracts and things like that, we're going to be able to, keep upping the ante with the demos and, we're progressing towards a large language model. That's the plan. So that's going to be very exciting. On Twitter, I shared a teaser of a Utopia demo. I think there are going to be more of those coming. Oh gosh, other projects in the wings that people might want to know about. There's another one called Orbit. Orbit is going to be an open source project. So people will be able to take the code and do what they want with it. And it will enable you to create institutional grade crypto custody, cross-chain crypto custody solution on the internet computer that's completely decentralized. So you'll be able to just, take this code in the repo, compile it, upload it to the internet computer, and you'll have your own institutional grade custody solution. Now, if you wanted to, you could assign control over that institutional grade custody solution to a DAO, and it could be kind of like a decentralized service, or you could just use it to custody, digital assets within your own organization. And, it makes it very easy using a graphical user interface to define very complex rule sets about, how assets are transferred or not. So those are some of the big things coming, I think.
Dom, can't wait to have you on for round two, mate. Again, you made my head spin. So many incredible things here. You guys are moving and grooving. And again, totally agree on the marketing side of things. You guys, I don't want to say undermarketed, but underappreciated is definitely the right word. When people think of your team, it's like, they do a little bit of everything, but I feel like there's perhaps, and my apologies if I'm overstepping, but I feel like sometimes there's not a specific bucket that people put you guys into. And in crypto, everyone loves, Bitcoin is the ledger in gold. ETH is, gas and smart contracts. Everyone loves to sort of, have a label on their head. But hopefully that changes soon. But either way, Dom, absolutely incredible episode. Appreciate you coming on. Before you go, can you please let our listeners know where they can find you personally and Definity online and on socials?
Sure. So you can find me on Twitter. That's the best place. It's Dominic, DOMINIC _W. And I'm constantly tweeting new stuff. And Definity is just definity.org. But the place you really want to go is internetcomputer.org. And actually, that website was recently upgraded with an AI. So you don't have to trawl through all the content up there. You can just click your cursor into the AI box, type a question, and press ask, I think it says.
Amazing. Folks, what an episode with Dominic Williams, founder and chief scientist of Definity Foundation. He was dropping knowledge bombs all over the place, everything decentralized AI, AI dApps, hosting AI models, multi-chain DeFi, a little bit of everything. We jumped in. If you guys enjoyed this one, I hope you did. Please do subscribe. It would mean the world to my team and I. Speaking of the team, love you guys so much. Thank you for everything. Eustace, you are the man. And back to the listeners. Love you guys. Keep on growing those bags and keep on staying healthy, wealthy, and happy. Bye for now and we'll talk soon.